Welcome to the Back Porch Gourmet Podcast, where the outdoors start at your back porch, with your host, Andy Johnson. Check out the latest in outdoor cooking at www.backporchgourmet.com.
All right, this is the very first podcast of the Back Porch Gourmet. I've got a great guest lined up, and why don't we just go ahead and get started. First question, your name, where you're from, and your website.
My name is Mark Hansen. Where I'm from is some planet, I don't know, off in the distant galaxies. No. I grew up in Indiana and have lived the last 25 years in Utah. So that's where I'm from. The web address is marksblackpot.blogspot.com.
I agree.
And you can find all kinds of cool Beethoven recipes and stories there.
He's not kidding. He updates regularly, and it is very, very cool. So check it out. All right. How did you get started in outdoor cooking?
Actually, it's how I got started in cooking in general. I mean, other than just learning to follow recipes throughout my life, not really all that much, but some. I didn't really find an interest in cooking until I got into Dutch ovening. Somewhere way back in the dark eons of time, my wife remembered that I'd mentioned it. I thought it would be fun to learn how to cook in a Dutch oven, so she bought me one for Father's Day about 3-4 years ago. And I know we don't camp that much, so I figured I'd just learn how to do it just, you know, in the driveway or the backyard or the back porch. And so I just started doing our Sunday dinners in it. And then gradually I started getting more and more fascinated with cooking in general. But I've always stuck to that first love of cooking outdoors in the Dutch ovens. And then this year I think I'm wanting to spend a little more time on my grill.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
That sounds great. So what is your favorite cooking method, indoor, outdoor, or otherwise?
Oh, I love it doing it outdoors. If I have my choice to do it outdoors in the Dutch ovens, I'd rather do that than cook inside. I don't know why. It's just weird. I think it's okay to do it indoors, but I don't know. There's something cool about bringing in a steaming Dutch oven and opening it up and having people go, wow.
Yeah, you kind of cross a barrier there. You walk out your back porch, you're on your patio, and it suddenly becomes something that maybe takes a little more work, but it's an amazing thing just to be able to cook that way. Love it.
Yeah, and you know, it really all boils down to the same thing. I mean, like I've mentioned in my blog, we're really just talking about heat on food.
Yep.
And so whether you do that on an indoor stove or on a gas grill or with charcoal in your Dutch oven, you're still just talking about the same basic principles. Now, you got to adapt it a little bit when you're doing it in the Dutch oven compared to on a stove, but it's still basically the same principle. But for some reason, I really like that additional challenge of doing it outdoors, especially if you could pull off a really elaborate dish outdoors. That's always a great accomplishment.
Yeah, certainly makes it more challenging, even if your kitchen is just up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
What kitchen tool can you not live without?
Well, besides the Dutch ovens themselves, I'd say my chef's knives and my cutting board. Oh, except for the magical spoon.
Yeah, the magic spoon is great. You guys need to check this out. I'll put the web address in the post. Go check this out. It's a gift I gave Mark for his birthday dog last year. And it's got the heating conversion chart burned into the edge, or burned onto the back. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, it was really cool. The other day, somebody was looking at that and thinking it was some sort of arcane secret message. It was pretty funny.
I need to I'm actually looking into getting like 100 of them laser burned and selling them, but we'll see how it goes.
I think that would be a great idea. At any rate, I went through this process about a year and a half ago where I was trying to figure out how to use my knives right, and I had some old junky chef knives, but so I went around shopping around. I looked on YouTube a lot for, you know, how to use a chef knife and how to shop for a chef knife and what kind of things, and I talked to some people who I knew were really skilled chefs and asked all the questions about how to do it, because you can spend $400 on a knife. I mean, that's absurd, but it's possible, you know? And I finally found a pair of really classy knives for only about $20 a piece. They've lasted me very well. And I got a nice, big, hefty cutting board, and I can't live without those. Man, I go to somebody else's house, and they ask me to chop something. They hand me this label dull knife, and I'm like, okay.
You can't come to my house then. Just kidding.
But I was just amazed at how good of a knife I got for so little money. And with a little research and a little practice and learning how to use it, it's made a huge, huge difference.
That's great.
For
yeah,
example,
nice.
I have learned that if you cut onions with a well-sharpened, good quality chef knife, they will saute better than if you cook them, than if you cut them with a dull or low quality knife.
Interesting.
Because the knife, instead of slicing through the cells, will actually tear them, releasing more liquid, and so it won't saute as well.
That makes sense. Biochemistry lesson.
There you go.
So, what is your favorite dish to cook?
Some kind of bread. I've spent about the last 2.5, maybe 3 years learning all kinds of different breads and really perfected my chops on bread making. And I'm still not sure that I've really got it yet, but I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty good at it.
Well, I've read enough of your posts to know that you've pretty much got it. You just, I think you're just a little humble there.
Sorry, you kind of cut out on that one.
I've read enough of your posts to know that your bread skills are very well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're definitely being too humble there.
But that's the one that it's been the hardest and the most challenging for me to learn, but I think it's gotten me the most satisfaction is to be able to produce a really good bread has really been fun. And then there's some things I like to try. Like, I like to cook things that make people say, can you do that in a Dutch oven? You know, so I've done some Indian cuisine and I've done some Asian and Greek and all kinds of different cuisines, just trying to see how far I can push the limits of Dutch oven cooking.
That's great. That brings us to our next topic. What is your favorite food family to cook from?
As far as those sort of cuisines?
Yeah, Asian, Cajun, et cetera. What family do you cook from the most? What's your favorite?
Yeah, I kind of go in phases. Lately, I think the one I've been enjoying the most is sort of Southwestern and Cajun. More Southwestern. But I've been kind of exploring heat a little more. You know, like pepper heat.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
so
my
I,
had, on.
I made it. Yeah, I made I can't even think of the name of it. Chile Verde.
Oh, very good.
Not too long ago, that turned out really good. And a long time ago, I did a jambalaya that I really liked, a shrimp jambalaya. So, is that my favorite? No, but I'm kind of going through a phase of that stuff. And I did some tamales a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you guys should check those out. They look really good. And I'll post a link to all of these in the post. So how many Dutch ovens do you have, and do they have names?
I have 7, and no, they don't have names.
That's probably a good thing.
I'm not so clever to name them. I think it's cool when people do name them, but I've never bothered.
Well, I only have one that's named, and that's because of a weird tempering that resulted in a blue color for a while. So that would be Babe, my blue ox.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yep, the blue. Yeah, I've got 2 12-inch shallows, and those are my workhorses. One of which is that Lodge that my wife first bought me. And I can tell that one because of this chip that's in the lip of the lid. And then I've got a 10-inch and a 12-inch deep that were gifts from my father-in-law. I have an 8-inch that was a birthday present from my son. And then 2 deep 14-inches.
Wow, sounds like you've got quite the arsenal.
I'm pretty pleased with what I've got so far. I can't really think of any need for more, except that I wouldn't mind having one of those elongated ones so that I could do a nice long French grid.
Yeah, good luck finding those. I hear they're hard to find.
It's interesting, though, that of all of those Dutch ovens that I have, I've only personally bought 2 of them.
Isn't it great? I think you once have been known to say that as soon as people start finding out that you're a Dutch oven chef, they pull out the ones that they were gifted themselves and never used, and then just give them to you. So,
and they start giving them to you. That's how I got one of those big 14-inch deeps, which are really nice. I've actually cooked like a 20-pound, 21-pound turkey in those. So, yeah, I had to give it CPR to get it in, but... But that was given to me. The 12-inch deep and the 10-inch were given to me by people outside of my family. I mean, so
what
do you have?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
What is the hardest thing you've ever cooked? Speaking on giving turkeys CPR.
The hardest thing I ever cooked is bread. It took me a year before I could claim to myself that I cooked a decent bread.
That surprises me, actually, because you're a bread master.
I had to fight my way to that point. If indeed I am there, I had to fight my way there. It was my first few attempts were frightening. Oh, and I had to. It took me a good 2 or 3 tries to get a decent apple pie, too.
Mm. Yeah, those are hard.
And it's interesting. It's funny because I've been struggling lately to cook a decent roast. Maybe it's just I'm going through a phase where my standards are growing higher, and so I'm not feeling like I'm doing very well at it. But the last few roasts I've done, I've not been very happy with.
Mm. Speaking on the note of failure, not necessarily... That cooking, is a failure. But what is the worst flop that has ever happened to you while cooking in the Dutch ovens?
Oh, it's got to be that first apple pie that I tried.
Tell me.
Oh, that was frightening. I take that back. It could have been the blackened salmon that I did for the Eagle Mountain Dutch Oven Cook-Off. That whole day was a disaster. But I put way too much blackened seasoning on it. But I didn't taste it myself until long after the judges had eaten it.
Oh, dear.
And then all of us who had been cooking got a chance to taste it. And I tried that and I went, holy moly. No wonder I didn't win.
So tell me about cooking competitively. Any experiences there besides the Eagle Mountain Cook-Off?
No. I've done the Eagle Mountain Cook-Off twice, and I don't know. I have some problems with the whole concept of cooking competitively. Mainly, the biggest problem I have with it is that I never do very well. I always choke. And it's like that salmon. I did that the week before as a practice run. I invited some friends over, and I cooked them up the salmon, and it was incredible. I went into it so confident, and then everything went wrong. So I just don't do competitive cooking very well. And another problem I have with it is just the whole concept of the judging. It's like, okay, let's take an example of that salmon, even though I know for a fact that that salmon should not have won. But how can you tell if my blackened salmon is better than somebody else's, say, barbecued ribs? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's all arbitrary. There's no science to it.
Right, and it's so... They're so different, or somebody else's roasted chicken. I mean, they're so totally different that I find it very tough to imagine how somebody could judge and say, well, you know, this one's the best and that one's not. You know, in a lot of ways it's like any kind of creative endeavor, an art show or a songwriting contest,
Not better, but different, right?
No, I don't know. I'm not saying that people shouldn't go and compete in those. I say, if that's what you're into, go for it. But at the At the same time, I'm just not that good at it.
I've competed competitively, and it was my first time, but I went there to have fun, and I did a little research. You got to make it look pretty. The judges aren't going to like it. There was a guy that had a chili recipe, and everybody else was doing pork tenderloins, and I did stuffed mushrooms and beef wellingtons, all these very complicated dishes, and I kind of wondered if he felt left in the dust, but it's a competition, and you've got to go in with your A game. That's how you win. I didn't go to win.
Right.
I went to have fun.
Yeah, but it's nice to win, too. It's nice to win, though, too.
It is nice. I mean, every participant got a booby prize from Camp Chef. That's cookie pan, which I've used, and they're phenomenal. But, it's nice to just go out, spend an afternoon, meet some new people, make some friends, cook some food for the public, and then sit back and take it home and clean it all up. And if you win, you win.
And I really enjoy doing that, but for my money, I think I'd rather do that at a gathering than at a competition.
Yeah, indeed.
I've been to a few gatherings, and those, to me, are so much more fun, because everybody just shows up, and it's a lot more relaxed atmosphere. There's a lot more interaction. To me, it's just a lot more fun than a competition.
Yeah. I need to get out to a gathering. That would be fun.
That's just me. By the way, you might want to mention to your folks that you can find out about Dutch Oven gatherings and where to find them at the IDOS website, IDOS.org, I believe, IDOS.org.
Yeah, very good resource. I need to join. Just been kicking around the idea. If I'm going to join, though, I'd want to participate in the events, and therefore, you need time for that. So get busy when you're a scoutmaster.
Yeah.
All right, I know this is a hot topic on your blog, Mark. What foods did you hate growing up, and do you like them now?
Well, did you read that whole asparagus adventure?
I did. For our readers, you should check that out.
I used to hate asparagus, and now I've learned a few ways to cook it, and I think my general taste has grown up, and I've actually done a few things with asparagus that I've actually liked quite a bit in recent months. But boy, it was like I almost needed therapy to get over it,
It was like
a big landmark, in my life to finally go out and buy some asparagus on my own and actually cook it myself. It's like, okay, let's get over this. That's great. I used to hate broccoli, but I do a lot with broccoli now, too. I still have not yet acquired a taste for squash.
Mm-hmm. You should try it grilled. I hear it's good. I've done zucchini that way. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's
a little bit crunchy.
That's one thing. I'm talking about that orange, though. See, my mom used to cook that, like, steam it, and so she'd throw this puddle of glop, orange glop on my plate.
Yeah.
Oh, it was nasty.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, because my mom is a really good cook. She is a great cook, but there were a few things she made that I just could not tolerate as a kid, and I still bear the deep emotional scars today.
So, you consider yourself an outdoor chef?
Yeah. Well, chef is a relative term, you know.
Yeah.
Chef as in one who cooks? Yes, I am a chef as in I cook. Chef as in am I really good at it? Well, that remains to be seen. I have learned a few things over the years that I've been doing it. So yes, I consider myself an outdoor chef.
That's good. Speaking of learning anything, has outdoor cooking taught you anything, any life lessons?
Oh, yeah. It's a big one is slow down. That's one of the reasons why I enjoy cooking on Sunday afternoon so much. Because, you know, I just come home from church, and, you know, I've had bread raising or something, and I'll light up some coals, and I'll put it on, and then I'll start the main dish, and I'll put that out on the coals, and then I sit there, and I can tell the world, don't bother me, I'm cooking, even though I'm just sitting there. And it's great, because, you know, Dutch ovening is not a microwave. And you can spend some real nice time developing some real flavors and just relaxing and watching the coals burn down. And it's even better if you've got a friend standing there with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what I enjoyed so much about that day that you came over to cook with me. That was a lot.
That was a ton of fun. We definitely need to do that again. And any reader out there, find a friend in Dutch oven, cook together, and just enjoy it. And if you don't have anybody that cooks, invite them over. Have them with you during the preparation, and just talk, and then, you know, sit down. You can bring a salad, you can cook a Dutch oven dish, and you just enjoy it. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And that's another reason I enjoy the Dutch oven gathering so much. I just wish I could go to more of them. It's all into a family life, you know. And with some crazy running here and running there, but, yeah.
Yep.
And I've also learned a lot about persistence and perseverance and learning. You know, I struggled to learn how to cook a lot of things, and not giving up has helped a lot.
Yeah,
and when it comes just to plain old learning, there's some practical things that I've learned, not really life lessons, but practical things that I've learned, like how to use knives, like I've learned a little bit about herbs and spices and how to use them. I've learned how to make my own pasta by hand. Of course, how to season and re-season a good Dutch oven. And I've learned that YouTube has the answer to almost everything.
Almost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
Mark, it's been great. We've got one last question. We're almost out of time, but question is, you're on a desert island. The island is well populated with food. It's just you and your family. What five items from your kitchen can you not live without? Not food. You don't eat food. It's all on the island. Just what five items.
Okay,
what's that? You kind of cut out.
Do you count spices as food?
There was that. Not necessarily, because you've got to make the food taste good. So you can include spices
okay. In
your five.
So I would probably choose, obviously, one or two Dutch ovens. My knife. my thermometers. It's kind of funny because I would obviously need mixing bowls and measuring cups, but I don't have any one of them that I really like. You know, it's not like I have to have this one measuring cup because my grandmother died with this cup in her hand or whatever, you know. I can use any kind of, but you got to have that stuff, you know. Yeah. I'm not really attached to them like I am with.
Well, I don't need measuring cups, but you might.
So those are the things that I really would struggle cooking without.
That's only four. Come on, give me a fifth.
I even at one point thought it would be interesting to learn how to cook with wood as opposed to charcoal briquettes.
Oh, I've tried it. It's a pain.
So I'll try that sometime.
Very good, Mark. Well, from bottom of my heart and bottom of my Dutch oven, I just want to thank you for coming out today and letting me interview you. Everybody,
well, thank
go
you
over
for
and
inviting
check out.
Me and for plugging the black pot all these years.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody, go check out Mark's Black Pot.
Blogspot.com.
It's incredible. He's got recipes at least weekly, and usually a good story with each one. So check him out.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mark.